The Jewish festival of Hanukkah begins next week. Tomorrow night, starting at 6 p.m., Rabbi Craig Lewis of Mitzvah Congregation here in Chattanooga will teach a virtual class about it through the Chattery, titled History Happy Hour, The History and Mystery of Hanukkah. Rabbi, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
You are going to share and explore in this online event about a holiday that, as you put it, it's not in the Jewish Bible, and it is considered a minor holiday in the Jewish faith, and yet we pay a lot of attention to it here. We have for generations.
Yeah, it's a holiday that gets a lot of extra attention because it falls in December, and for obvious reasons, there is opportunity, but also conflict that comes up with it. The opportunity is to sort of draw in some of the beauty of the lights and the gift giving and the good cheer and the goodwill that's surrounding us. But the conflict is the more that we do that, the less that we lose the true meaning of the holiday. And it is a holiday that's founded in light and good cheer and all of those things. But at its foundation is something very different than what Christmas is. So the class is partly going to explore what those differences are, how Hanukkah came to be, talk about maybe why it's considered a minor holiday, and how it's perhaps in American Judaism become perhaps the most major holiday.
And right down to why there are multiple spellings for the name.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that too. That's sort of, I'll do my sort of Hebrew grammar nerd out for that moment where I get to explain why the ch has, you know, three different ways of representing it, why some people put one K, some people put two. And then after people wake up, I will go on to the next piece of it.
You are from the Midwest, from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Tell us some of your earliest memories of this holiday.
So I grew up in a Reformed Jewish home. My mother, of blessed memory, was always involved not just in making Hanukkah important in our home, but also in the community at large. And she was the director of the Hebrew school that I went to. So it was always about how to teach it, how to program for it, then bringing some of those things home. And it was always important to gather around, light candles, have the candles appear in the window of our home. No matter what, there should always be at least a present every night, which is something that's one of those things that sort of grew over time as part of American Judaism to accommodate the falling around Christmas time. So, well, how do you teach kids to love Hanukkah? Say, well, instead of just one day of presents, as Adam Sandler puts it, you get eight crazy nights. So it was always something that was a focal point of the year. And there was always, you know, my mom would make latkes, and we'd have one night where we'd get together with all of our extended family and cousins and make a big deal out of it. So, you know, my earliest memories were saying the blessings around the menorah, or the Chanukiah, which is the technical term for it, eating the Hanukkah food and singing the songs.
And how would you say celebrations have varied from place to place where you have lived over the years?
Well, weather has definitely played a role in it. You know, when I grew up in Kansas City, it was always cold, and so everything had to be indoors. There was some time that I spent in California, and you could actually celebrate Hanukkah on the beach if you wanted to. This wasn't really geographically limited, but I do remember once having tickets to see a Mighty Ducks game in Anaheim, and we actually had access to a suite, so we lit candles in the suite, which was kind of fun. It was a once-in-a-lifetime. And we did get some strange looks from other people, but we didn't care. It was fine. That's what Hanukkah is all about.
And this is steeped in history. This is about miracles. You're still formulating this class as we speak, and we don't want to give everything away, but just a little bit.
Yeah, the Chattery would be upset with me. If I taught the whole class right now, they'd, you know, be really upset, and I don't want to do that. They're very nice folks. Yeah, the historical aspect of it is a military battle. It was a revolt against the Seleucid Empire that were trying to Hellenize the nations around them that they were occupying. And, you know, a group of zealous Israelites that were from the priestly caste, that was the Maccabee family, started a revolt and overwhelmed the invaders. And then they rededicated the temple. And that's what Hanukkah means, is dedication. And so it's about the rededication of the temple once they drove out the pagan empire that had, you know, erected a statue of Zeus there and desecrated the temple. And so it's about rededication.
Given the year that we have had in so many ways, what lessons might this Hanukkah coming up share for us?
It's a really great question. I think that if I had to just take a stab at it from a health perspective, it's a holiday that talks about hope, that you always can look forward to a brighter tomorrow. And that's actually a Talmudic teaching. Now, I'd probably bring this into the class now that I'm thinking about it, is that there was a debate. You have, you know, eight candles and you light one each night, and they debated, do you start with eight and count down from 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or do you go one and all the way up? And they ultimately decided that you're only supposed to add light to the world, not diminish light from the world. And as we hope to see an emergence from this pandemic in the future, we seek to enhance light and hope as we move forward. Without exposing any sides, I think from a political outlook too, that's another way to look at it, is to say, here we are. The best way to approach this is from a perspective of adding light and illumination to the world, and we should stop chiseling away and detracting from it.
And proceeds from this event will help spread light. Tell us more about that.
The proceeds will go to the Rabbi's Discretionary Fund at Mitzvah Congregation. And those funds are used to support members of my community if they're in need of financial support. It does also go to sort of educational or camp scholarships for families who might need some support. It goes towards sometimes just basic utilities for people if there's a struggle. I also can support nonprofits like the food bank in the area. So it's a fund that only goes to support nonprofit causes and to try and make people's lives better.
And if people want more information about this online course, they can check it out and they can sign up at thechattery.org. For more information about your congregation, where can they go online?
So we are mitzvahcongregation.org online. We also have a Facebook presence, so you can also check us out on Facebook, Mitzvah Congregation, and like us and get in touch with upcoming events. And occasionally I'll post my sermons on a blog, and you can check those out as well. We were on Instagram, but not for a little bit, so hopefully we will be again soon.
All right. Rabbi, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. And I look forward to having as many people as we can in the class and listening to your show. So thank you.